It's certainly great to be here with you this morning, to be able to spend this time in a study of God's Word. I appreciate very much Daryl's class in making us think as we consider the Scriptures. That's what we're supposed to do. Spend time in them and learn what God really wants us to know. What I want to talk about this morning is based on Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. I think there's no greater time in our culture's history when this command needs to be examined and to be practiced. In verse 31, he said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Forgiving one another. I think sometimes we may have our own ideas about what that's supposed to mean, and we have not really thought so much about what God had to say. And there are many teachings that tell us the need to forgive. So that indicates to me that God recognizes that we would struggle with this command. Maybe not so much the understanding of it, but the application of it especially. In Colossians chapter 3, he says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." We like to talk a lot about the love of God, about the love that Jesus displayed in coming into this world to be the sacrifice for our sins, to give us this opportunity of salvation. But if that's going to be effective in our own lives, then we're going to have to pay attention to the remainder of what God says as well. And that has to do with forgiving each other. And you'll notice he said, "Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you." Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 16 and verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So, it begins to be obvious that forgiveness is a very important part of our salvation. But it's also important because it is a threat to our salvation. Not forgiving other people jeopardizes our own salvation. Not being of the kind of disposition about all of this that God wants us to have can literally cause us to be lost. And I think part of our problem today is that we may not really understand all about biblical forgiveness here that God wants us to. There's so many different concepts thrown around about what forgiveness really means, especially in our culture today. It makes it difficult for us to know exactly what God means unless we're willing to take the time to pay attention to the Word of God. This is about our soul. And you would think with the souls of people at stake that they would really want to spend more in learning what God has to say other than what some individual had to say about it. So I want us to think carefully this morning. Let's not make it difficult for us to know what God means. We've already had a really good lesson about that. We need to understand. Pardon me. And when he tells us that we need to forgive others, we need to look at what he's meaning when he says that. He says, "Forgive others as I have forgiven you." In our culture, forgiveness is kind of a one-sided thing. It all comes from the inside of the individual who's trying to understand what forgiveness is all about. It's a sort of an internal effort to get one's own emotions under control. His feelings, in other words, about this situation that he's become involved in where he thinks he needs to forgive someone. So your decision here is all about what you have decided or what this individual has decided. It's about what he has done by himself. He's acted alone in this. He didn't consider what others had to say. He didn't consider the members of his church family, so-called, and certainly he did not consider what God had to say. So we don't want to do that. It's all a decision that's made based on the individual's personal feelings. It's kind of a therapeutic type of view that people have today of forgiveness. And it's the idea that forgiveness is really all about me and what I have to do. And it's about my emotions and about my feelings. It's where someone is made to feel happier and more relaxed with themselves. And maybe even made to be feeling a little more healthier as a result. Feeling better about all of this that's just transpired. Well, that's one of the ways that the word forgiveness is used in our culture today. For example, we'll hear people say, well, you know, you just need to forgive yourself. Well, that doesn't make sense if you're talking about it in the sense of the Bible and what God had to say about forgiveness. The scriptures never say to just forgive yourself. But what people mean by forgiving themselves is that this is that one-sided internal effort that people make to get their own personal emotions under control, their own feelings, in other words, and kind of move themselves to a sort of a happy place where they feel really better about all of this. They've solved their inner turmoil and they're feeling more at peace with themselves. But that's not the biblical view, and you can see why that there's confusion when we discuss forgiveness from a biblical basis. Another example of this, we hear sometimes that people will say, well, I've forgiven God for what transpired in this situation, or I just can't forgive God because of all of this hurt that's been dealt me. And they're believing God's at fault in the matter, and they have the right to decide whether or not they want to forgive God. I want us to see that in our culture, this word forgiveness may mean a whole lot of different things to a lot of people. But it's based primarily on an individual's feelings. And we're talking about our feelings towards God if somebody speaks about forgiving God. They certainly don't have an understanding of God. And forgiving ourselves is actually talking about the feelings that we have internally. We may be feeling shame, we may feel blame or guilt or some other feeling of emotion here, but being able to forgive ourselves is not about that. We're making forgiveness about us so that we can feel good about it. But that's not the idea that we see in the scriptures. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. We see examples all the time. In fact, if you watch the news, you'll notice where someone has perhaps murdered a person in one's family. And you see the feelings of the family really coming out in the open. And of course, the news people really like to dramatize everything anyway. But at the same time, we realize that here are individuals who are struggling, and they're struggling with things about themselves. And the person that has been convicted of murder may show remorse or he may not. But so many times we'll hear a family member say that they have forgiven that individual. They've forgiven the murderer. But again, forgiveness is not the right word here, because what that person is saying is that he or she has made this a one-sided internal effort, something they've done on their part to get their own emotions under control on this matter and to solve their own inner turmoil and conflict that's going on. We could say this another way if we wanted to talk about a person being at peace with themselves. But it's essentially the same thing. Some will say, we've made peace with this situation. It wasn't the best, but I've just got to move on. I'm satisfied with the situation, and that's the way we deal with it. From the passages we looked at earlier, in Ephesians and Colossians and in Matthew, where the Lord is teaching his disciples about prayer, you'll notice how God always ties the model of forgiveness in our lives to the forgiveness that he performs. So we need to look at these things. He said, forgive others just as God in Christ forgave you. And he said, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. You see what he's basing this on. If we don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive our trespasses. God teaches us what forgiveness looks like by telling us to look at how God forgave us. So please note that this cannot be some sort of a one-sided forgiveness type of thing where you're dealing with your own personal emotions. There's more to it than that. God does not forgive so that he feels better about himself. And he doesn't forgive as a one-sided internal effort to get his own emotions under control. That's not the God of heaven that we're talking about here. He doesn't have to forgive himself. And again, I hope that we're seeing that the way that our culture uses the word forgiveness does not match the way that God says. And this is what causes confusion in our understanding of what God is teaching us in regard to this issue. Let's think about some basics for just a moment. When we go back to them, we get a right understanding about forgiveness. As Jesus there in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12 was teaching his disciples, he said, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You may read that in the King James and the ESV as well. The word debt and debtors. Because to its very core, the idea of forgiveness is releasing of the debt that's been incurred. Now, we understand this in the financial world when the debt is forgiven. We realize that if we have a college loan and they forgive your debt, you don't have to pay that debt anymore. And we understand if we have a loan on our home and that's forgiven, then the debt's no longer owed. We recognize it in that sense, but what God is teaching us is that sins that we incur are a debt. We are in debt to God. Let's look back at that parable that Jesus told in Matthew 18 that Bill read this morning. He said, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and a payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Have mercy on me, have compassion on me. Be patient with me, Lord, and I'll pay you. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. The comparison is like a guy owing a day's wages and another guy owing 100 days' wages. one having a debt that's small, another having a debt impossible for him to pay. So he seized him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Now, his point. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." If you're going to follow me, Jesus said, you better keep this in mind. Because this is the way that you're going to have to learn to live. If you're going to experience the love of God in your behalf, if you're going to experience the forgiveness of God in your behalf, His grace, His mercy, all of this, then you're going to have to pay attention and act the way you're supposed to. And you're going to have to do it from the heart. If you don't forgive your brother from the heart, then it's not going to work. So Peter asked how often he must forgive his brother who sins against him, and Jesus uses this illustration about being in debt. Now, if you try to get others, what you perceive that they owe you because of what they've done against you, then God will get out of you what you owe to Him for your sins. We've all incurred these debts against each other, but the greatest debt that we've incurred is against God. He is the one that we have wronged the most. He is the one to whom we are indebted in a manner that we can never hope to repay. So the operation of forgiveness is this. We need to see how much God has forgiven our debts that we have against Him. And they are numerous, and they are unpayable debts. Then we must be ready to forgive the debts wherein others have wronged us. Those debts which are small in comparison to what we owe God. But there's more to the impact and the effect here. The effect of this forgiveness has to do with the matter of reconciliation. And this is a side of the project here that I think we sometimes overlook, or at least maybe don't even want to consider. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 18, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." As you notice in these verses, the effect of forgiveness here is reconciliation. God wants us to be reconciled to Him. And the only way He's going to be able to forgive us and grant unto us reconciliation is if we approach Him in the manner, realizing that we have wronged Him, we owe Him a debt we cannot pay, we plead for His mercy from a sincere heart, and we're seeking His forgiveness. This is the person that God will forgive. In Christ, God is not counting our sins against us, which enables us to reconcile us to Him. This is what God has done with us. With this debt that we have created against God, it's a debt that can now be forgiven by Him. We're now able to have this relationship with God. Reconciliation is the fact, or is the effect rather, of that forgiveness that has been received. I think sometimes this is what makes forgiveness so hard. It's what we need to do. Forgiveness is not some sort of internal therapy on yourself so that you're now able to deal with your emotions. This is great, but that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is the erasing of that debt between two individuals so that the relationship which was fractured by that offense can come back together, can continue. That's what God is showing us that forgiveness is like. And He's commanding us to forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave us. Now, this is important because it helps us to understand what forgiveness truly is and why forgiveness is conditional and not unconditional. God says that as the Lord, He has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. But does God forgive you conditionally or unconditionally? In 1 John 1 and verse 9, He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we just read that one passage, we might decide that there's really not much I have to do except confess the fact that I've sinned to God. In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, He said to His disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Obviously, God is not pleased with the fact that we sin against Him. He goes on to say, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Did you notice that how God forgives is how we're supposed to forgive? If we seek repentance, then God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That's what He's talking about when He says, confess your faults to Him. Not just the fact that you have sinned, but think about exactly what you have done and the fact that you need to repent of those sins and come to God with remorse in your heart, seeking forgiveness for those things that are wrong. And that same picture we've just pointed out is right here in Luke 17. If a person sins, we need to bring it up before them. And if they repent, we are to forgive them. But what do we have to do to bring to that person? Why do I have to do that? Why can't I just forgive him in my heart? Why can't I just have some sort of this internal, one-sided forgiveness here so that I put my emotions under control and I can now go on with my life? The reason is that that's not forgiveness. And it's because the effect of forgiveness is the canceling of the debt so that the relationship can be restored. The relationship must be restored. And this is what makes forgiveness so hard. So we don't want to cheapen it by just talking about controlling our emotions. What makes forgiveness so amazing is not that God has His emotions under control regarding us, but that He erases the debt and He restores the relationship that we have. Forgiveness, like His grace, is not deserved. Like His mercy, we cannot earn it. There's no way we can pay this debt off that we have against God. So there's no list of requirements that we go through and we check them off that's given to us before forgiveness can be enacted. It just simply does not work that way. Forgiveness is the restoring of the severed, broken relationship that the offense has caused. The reason why forgiveness must be conditional is not because God doesn't have enough love that He's displayed toward us. He's given us the opportunity. He so loved the world that He sent His Son. But just because he died on that cross doesn't mean forgiveness is given to everyone. It just means it's there to be had. Forgiveness is conditional, and it must be conditional because a relationship cannot be restored unless both parties want it restored. Both parties have to acknowledge this particular offense and desire to go forward and to be reconciled one with another. We have to understand that if we want to be reconciled to God. God is not merely erasing debts here. He erases the debt because he wants to be in a relationship with us. And our repentance declares that we want to be in relationship with him. So forgiveness here is the means to obtain reconciliation. The heart of forgiveness is the desire to restore that broken relationship, and this is the heart of God that we're seeing. He desires to restore that broken relationship that's sin damaged with every person on this planet. This is the heart that we have for each other. This is the kind of love that we need to demonstrate toward each other. I should be wanting to fix what's broken. Christians are encouraged to become peacemakers. As much as depends upon me, we have to resolve that we're going to strive to bring about peace in all of the relationships that we have with one another. There is no point where a relationship is so fractured that it can never be restored. And this is what it means when Jesus told Peter that you don't just forgive him seven times. When he said 70 times seven, he's saying any time he comes to you and asks. There is no limit. How many times can you violate God's law and sin against him before God says no to forgiveness? That's not the way God works, is it? He understands that we're weak and we are certainly unworthy. But when we come to him seeking reconciliation from the heart, then that's what he's provided for us. The forgiveness is undeserved, it's sacrificial, it's repetitive, and we do this because this is what God's done for us. Because we have received his mercy repeatedly, undeservedly, and sacrificially. So how do we know if we're there? How do we know where we need to be regarding the matter of forgiveness? Forgiveness is indeed a heart issue. And you'll notice that this is how Jesus ended that parable when he told Peter and his disciples in Matthew 18 and verse 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. If you're not sincere about this, then don't even bother. So the question is there forgiveness in my heart? Am I willing to do what God wants me to do? Do I desire forgiveness with this person? And do I work to create ways for reconciliation to occur? What is my attitude? What's my disposition here? You know, this revealed so much about God if we will just try to learn more about him and to be forgiven by him. Do I want reconciliation to occur with an individual who hurts me or who's wronged me? What is my attitude? Do I hold a grudge? Do I hold bitterness? Have I become consumed with anger? Do I want to retaliate, or do I burn the bridge of the relationship with that person because I no longer want anything I have to do with them? Do I enjoy having something to hold over their head? Or do I do everything that I can to keep that barrier up? Forgiveness and reconciliation cannot happen if both parties don't want it. God shows that to us. There's no such thing as one-sided, unconditional forgiveness with God. If we want forgiveness, we have to come to him in repentance. But consider this. God did everything on his end to remove the barriers, to make a way for us to come to him so that we could be reconciled. And that's what we must do for each other. Can you imagine what churches would be like if this is what everybody practiced? If this is the way everybody would work towards one another, what about the world around us? If we were committed, when you have two people committed to coming back together, one with sorrow for what they'd done and one with a heart of forgiveness looking to erase the debt, what a wonderful world. Think about how relationships would be made whole and problems would be solved, and if we were the kind of forgiving people that God's called us to be. So it's important that we do that. It's good that we have our emotions under control, but that's not biblical forgiveness. It's dealing with it the way God wants. Biblical forgiveness erases the debt and restores the relationship with the one who desires it. Remember, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Forgiveness is hard. There's no doubt about that. But the interesting thing is, letting go frees a prisoner. And then we find out that we may just be that prisoner. As long as we hold those dark thoughts within us, as long as we're seeking to get even, our anger is replaced by joy, and our lives are becoming gloomy, and we're growing older by the minute. It ages us. We get upset, and we're unable to forgive because we're not invited to something, or somebody said something negative about us. And we just jump on it and blow it up in our mind, and we can't seem to get by it. Well, God can forgive, and so can we if we'll learn God's method. If we'll put into practice all of this anger, this bitterness, this resentment, this wrath, all of this we find in our hearts if we refuse to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice. And it's always the right choice. It's a difficult choice, yes. But think about all of the good that can come from that kind of choice that we make. In a moment, we're going to sing the song selected, number 300. I want you to think carefully about your relationship to God. The matter of forgiveness is a very personal thing. It applies to each one of us. And we have to take it sincerely, personally. If someone sins against us, we want to do everything we can to make sure it gets right. Are we coming to God with that kind of heart, with that kind of disposition? If we're not, then something needs to change in our hearts. We need to return to God. We need to seek His forgiveness. But don't expect it unless we're willing to forgive others. It's part of the great development program God has for Christians. So think about it carefully. And if things are not right in your life, do something about it while we stand, while we sing.